I've already been scolded.
City Council, go play.
Regular session Thursday, September 1, 2016. City Council Room at Goflet City Hall, 1218 Fisher Street. Steve, would you lead us in prayer?
If you give the prayer back.
It didn't work.
It didn't work. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this day. We thank you for this beautiful August weather that we had, some cool weather and some good rains. We ask that you bless this meeting and each and everyone in attendance. Be with us tonight as we try to make decisions with some wisdom and good decisions that are pleasing in your sight. We ask for forgiveness of our sins, and we pray these things in your holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. He's wanting my pair back.
He's trying to buy some goodwill.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Okay. Discussion with the audience. Got Brother James Taylor with us. Glad you're here.
Thanks, sir.
Representing the Goflet Eagle. Item number four. Consider an act on the minutes of the last meeting. I think everybody's probably had an opportunity to look at these prior.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting.
And a second by Ramona. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item number five. Consider an act on the operations report and our paid bills.
I think the next item in your packet is our check register. I'm glad to answer any questions. If there aren't any, then we'll look at the operations report.
I will make one comment. I noticed the LCRA check was lower than it has been in a long time. I think it's the second lowest we've had it this year. So.
Right. So things are backing off. But
backing off. Which
we've got a little a good story to tell here.
Yes, you do.
On the operations side.
I almost had to call you and ask if those numbers were correct.
No, they're correct. On the operations side, strong performance, expected performance that we in the electric department. A little of that was a hangover from prior period collections that came in after the close of the last operations report. Water usage up significantly. That's probably going to come streaming back down. We've seen, we saw plant numbers up over 600,000 gallons per day, but we're back down below that with all the recent rains. Water usage is way down. So we finished this month positive cash flow of $132,380. And no real unusual expenses also. Or breakdowns during the same month. So
right.
August is a really good month.
Very good.
Any questions on the operations report and our paid bills? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that to be approved as presented.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All right, item number six. Public hearing regarding the submission of an application to the Recreation and Parks Account Program for a Parks and Wildlife Grant in the amount of $75,000 for potential city park improvements.
Okay, so part of this grant application process is that we need to conduct a public hearing, and Darnell will come around. The public hearing is open to get everybody's signatures. Mayor, if there are no comments, then you can close the public meeting. Public comments.
Okay, so there's no public comments, since there's no one here,
right.
So we will officially close public comments.
Can I steal your pen?
There's a fly here.
It is.
There's one in my car, crazy fly.
You know, I noticed there's crickets in certain areas and not in others. Boy, at the Farm Bureau, their front door is just covered with
the airport.
Yes.
We had not a lot, but we had some rain.
At the courthouse the other day, there were quite a few.
Yeah.
Most of them are pretty dead, though.
Thank you.
All right. We need to.
So item number, you close the hearing. There's no comments. So
okay.
Item number seven.
All right. Okay. Let's go to item number seven. Consider an act on a resolution authorizing the submission of Texas Parks and Wildlife small community grant application in the amount of $75,000.
Okay. I've been working with our grant writer, Peggy York, and our engineer. We have an opportunity to apply for a Parks and Recreation grant in the amount of $75,000. It is only a 50-50 grant, so there'd be a $75,000 match. The resolution only authorizes the application, does not approve the acceptance of any grant or commit any funds. I will say this, with all the other work we've got going on right now, we don't know if we can meet the October 1 deadline for this grant application, but all the work that we do to date, we can save it and then apply next year. And what we're targeting is trying to find some funding to help make some improvements in the city park, namely adding a splash pad at the swimming pool where the kiddie pool is, and then improving the bathroom situation. So those are our two priority items, and so we thought those items would be eligible under this grant application. So even though you guys authorize us to do it, we may not get it done, but we're going to try. So staff's recommendation is to go ahead and authorize the resolution, let us work through this process, but that work won't be lost. If we don't meet the October 1 deadline, then we'll just be back at them next year, and gives you guys more time to think about it too.
All right, is there any questions for any of the council? If not, I'll entertain the motion that we consider an act on this resolution authorizing the submission Texas Parks and Wildlife Small Community Grant application.
I'll make the motion.
Okay. Second by Steve. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item number eight. Consider an act on a resolution authorizing an application for funding for the Texas Department of Agriculture, Texas Community Development Block Grant Downtown Revitalization Program.
Okay, similar type resolution, different program under Texas Department of Agriculture. We have done two of these prior. This is for sidewalk improvements. And I gave you guys in the Eagle the updated resolution because we didn't have these numbers done until about an hour before the meeting. But they've doubled the award size of the grant from $125,000 to $250,000. Okay? The score points and put us in the funding range, that would require a match by the city of $50,000. Okay. The project would entail replacing sidewalks on Fisher Street from 2nd to 3rd Street. That's this block right here. And really focusing on the front of Peabody's and the businesses over there. Adding decorative street lighting to match the lighting that's across the street. Then we'd move over to the block where the pavilion is. So on the 3rd Street side of the pavilion from Fisher to Parker Street, all new sidewalks there, decorative lighting. And then we'd go down Parker Street and tie back into the new sidewalk at the Welcome Center where the parking lot is. and make some improvements, also looking at covering that rest of the open storm sewer. We're putting up some railings and doing some things to make that a little more safer. But again, carrying our lighting theme around that block, this resolution just authorizes staff to submit an application. Later, you'll have the opportunity to decide whether or not to accept it if we win. So there is no commitment of funds here yet. So staff's recommendation is you authorize us to move forward with approval of the resolution. This one we have got most of the work done on, and we'll make the deadline to submit it.
Are there any questions, any comments?
Our part of that was $50,000?
Yes, sir.
Of a $250,000 grant. So, yeah, good.
Any questions or comments by any of the council? All right, I'll entertain the motion that we can consider and act on the resolution authorizing application for funding to the Texas Department of Agriculture, Texas Community Development Block Grant Downtown Revitalization Program.
So moved.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, second by Jay.
Okay.
All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Number 9. Consider an act on a resolution authorizing the award of professional service provider contracts for the 2016 Texas Community Development Block Grant Downtown Revitalization Grant. Okay.
Okay. Under the old guidelines, you'd get the grant, and then you'd go get your service providers and stuff like that. Now, what they're having everyone do under the new guidelines is when you submit your application, you've already completed your request for qualifications and scored the applicants. This does not obligate us to spend any money. It doesn't obligate us to accept the grant, but if we do accept the grant, then these would be the grant administrator and the engineering firm that have been pre-scored and pre-selected if you guys decide to move forward with the whole project, okay? And so we received one grant administrator response to our RFQ. That's Peggy York Consulting. So she would be the contract administrator. On the engineering services, we received two proposals, one from MSTI out of Austin and one from Jacob and Martin. We used the TDA scoring guidelines. Jacob and Martin scored higher. So staff's recommendation is that we go with Jacob and Martin. They're also the firm that did our previous two sidewalk projects, and they have some pretty good, they have a very good track record, much more extensive record of managing these types of projects. The other firm is more related to maybe TxDOT type projects and doesn't have near the project experience. So our recommendation is to approve the resolution awarding, if we get a grant and if you guys accept it, that we would use those two firms, Peggy York Consulting and Jacob Martin Engineering, to coordinate this project.
Any questions, comments, any of the council? Okay, I'll entertain a motion. We act on resolution authorizing the award of the professional service contract to Jacob and Martin and Peggy York for this Texas Community Development Block Grant.
I would so move.
Motion second. By Steve, second by Ramona. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All right. Item number 10, present the proposed annexation ordinance.
All right. It's not in my packet, so either it didn't get put in, or it's still sitting on my desk. I don't know where I put it, but let me go get a copy of it, make a copy for everybody.
Okay.
Sorry about the delay.
All right. Steve's awful hungry, but then wait.
I had lunch about 4 o'clock, so I'm good to go.
Hey, Steve.
It's looking pretty good.
I have a copy. Do y'all have a copy? It says ordinance number at the top. It talks about annexing. Yeah.
Oh, wrong one.
I think we all have a copy.
I don't have a copy.
You have one?
I had two or three.
That's
maybe
real
I got
them. Okay, good. Ordinance number, that one there. Keep going further back a bit.
This is the same form of ordinance that we use when we annex the airport and the reservoirs. And basically, I wanted to present it now. We've had one public hearing. We had one attendee. They asked one question. Yep. When will this be completed? We have a second public hearing scheduled this month. Once we complete that second public hearing, that at our October meeting, this is the ordinance that will be presented along with the detailed land description and map. And the areas we're talking about, it's I've got to finish up some stuff with Gerald, but the areas we're talking about is Jet Johnson's property on the south side of town that is kind of down from where the dozer guy's place.
Everett Kirby.
Everett Kirby, thank you. Jet has that empty lot, and then he has Ray Rivers' old shop. It's that little block right there, that piece. And then when we look to the north side of town, from the triangle on this side of 84, so we're talking about Cowboy Love's property, the Texaco, the hotel, Rocky's truck stop, the school property, and Candy Cagle's ranch. It's that block right there, okay? So those are the two areas that we're proposing to annex. And this is by petition, so it's a friendly annexation. They're asking to be brought into the city limits. I think from staff's perspective, this is a good move. I think we need to expand our boundaries a little bit. Just be some, you know, sales tax assistance, and then we pick up some water customers. And so that's a good thing.
Does it include, with the Texaco, does it include the old Shamrock Station building?
The Alsips.
Alsips or whatever.
Yes.
It is?
Yes. That area right there. So that kind of like one big square block right there.
It's a nice, everything's
yeah.
included.
Everything's
right?
included, one square package.
No one is off to that.
Exactly.
So would we be prepared to offer water and what city services would we
offer? The city service, they would be, all the city services, we would provide water, not sewer. Are they electric customers, or are they Hamilton Electric customers on that side? The hotel, Texaco, Rockies. No, they're Hamilton Electric customers. So now in our electric service area.
Okay.
Then the other city services they would be receiving are trash collection. They'd fall under our police protection, which is provided by the Sheriff's Department. They'd fall under our fire protection, which is provided by the Gold Plate Volunteer Fire Department. So all those things.
No real major changes in any of that then at this point?
No. And then we do have dedicated funds that were earmarked from the San Saba Waterline Project to cover the cost of boring under and bringing the water line over there. So the funding's already identified from Texas Water Development Board to serve this area.
As far as electric, will they ever be serviced by us or not?
Okay.
Or how, I know you probably...
Good question. All right, so this happens to a lot of cities. We're co-op blocked in that we have a certificated service territory that we can serve. They have a certificated territory they can serve. So the city limit boundaries do not determine who we provide electric service to. So if we go outside of our boundary, we have to get permission from the other electric provider to be able to serve that load. And we work cooperatively with whoever it is. And normally if we're closer, they recognize it's a burden on the landowner, and then we'll pick up that load. But since they're already serving those loads, they're not going to, that's their business. When we certificated our territory, we should have probably certificated a bigger area.
Yep.
But that's, you know, that hindsight's always 20/20, right?
Sure.
Didn't know. And so that's just outside our electric service territory boundary.
At the time, I'm sure the city didn't want to.
What's your...
We do serve the customers on the other side of 84.
Yeah.
That's in our boundary.
Yeah.
But on this side of 84, for whatever reason, that's just how they divided it up.
Again, Hamilton County at some point may decide that they don't want to service them at some point, maybe, or whatever,
however that works.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. That's fine.
So that was just for reading and presentation and answer questions.
All right, item number 11, city manager's report.
All right, a couple things I wanted to update you guys on is, you know, with the new budget and the new staffing work that we've been doing, I wanted to kind of review that with you.
Thank you.
Review that with you. So what is the form of our organization? Who does what? Who's where? We get that question a lot. Some people say so-and-so's leaving or so-and-so's staying or so-and-so's going to be the new this or the new that. Well, here it is. This is the organizational chart for the city of Goldthwait. And so you got city council at the top. You guys are at the top. I report to you guys. Off to my side is the city secretary. And then Paula Gore is our clerk. So as we drill down, we have our operations and cemetery department that is managed by Ronald Cagle. He's the supervisor manager of that department. We hired Mike Mitchell as part of our plan, and he's assistant manager there in the operations cemetery department. We work over to the water and wastewater department. Our superintendent is Gary Mullings. Gary and I have been working on how we align that organization and structure it. So going ahead and naming Corey Jernigan the assistant superintendent. He's been filling in for Gary. Gary's been out for over 2 weeks, probably going to be out another week and a half. And then we've got our two operators, Stephen Jones and Carl Wesson. And then on the electric side, we have our superintendent, Ronnie Kaiser. We do not have an assistant superintendent. Don't have one in mind. Don't have one named. But we do have that thought. And then we have three linemen that we've moved up from a department of three to a department of four. That's consistent with what we outlined in our strategy for the upcoming budget year and budget. So right now we're fully staffed. The thing we've talked about in the past is managing transitions. Not my transition, but other transitions within the various departments, and who has the skills, and where are the challenges, where are the opportunities to make sure that if we do have anyone retire or move on, that we get a little bit ahead of the game and not be always trying to fill vacancies and being understaffed. So this is the lineup. This is how this set up. Be glad to answer any questions, concerns, rumors, comments.
Any questions or comments?
How's Gary doing? Okay.
Yeah, Gary, he was actually in the office today, very winded, moving very slowly. He has his procedure scheduled for tomorrow. So hopefully they can get him regulated. All right, the next item is, this is one that has been discussed before and some of you may be new to you, and that is dealing with the acoustical qualities and situation at the airport terminal building. All right, so I've been working with the architect over at the jail project, and they're putting in acoustical panels there in their building to deal with sound issues. This is what a panel looks like, okay? This is a potential color for our building. Now, it's not cheap. And I'm not asking for any authority. I'm not asking for you guys to vote. I'm just trying to get a feel for different ways. It's a $14,000 price tag, and basically you get a 3 or 4 foot acoustical panel wrapped all the way around the top of that building inside. Because we get a lot of complaints, especially from people that have events there and stuff, with the metal and the concrete floor, the sound really bounces around in there. Yeah. And these guys will be in town, so we're getting a little, they're gonna be here, mobilized here to do the jail. So this is something we've been evaluating. I have not looked at other applications other than one, and that would be to hang material down the length of the ceiling. If you've ever been to Melody Oaks, that's what he's done. And in fact, the acoustical guys say that's something you can do. It won't solve your problem, but it'll at least be a part of a solution towards getting there. So I've asked the Artisans Guild to look at maybe cutting some material that our guys could install in there. But ultimately, it's getting that. I know y'all been to San Savic Civic Center. They've got big panels like that inside there. And I know they've had them for a number of years, and it really did help their sound situation. I talked to some of the San Saba folks, and they were happy with it, but they did it a number of years ago. So I don't know if this is something you guys think I should continue to pursue, or...
Is it installed on the ceiling and the walls?
No,
just the walls.
Just the walls. So you got the ceiling, which we sprayed in the rubber foam sealer. And so where the ceiling and the wall meet, then you'd have this paneling that goes all the way around. The idea being the sound, it's ricocheting and bouncing around.
Yeah, I've seen some of them. They're like 4x8. Yeah, I think Adam Street or whatever, not Adam Street, but over in Brownwood, they're the Depot.
The Depot's got
They have some like 4x8 sheets of this, you know, virtually the same thing. I had never seen one like this, where it wraps all the way around it, but
it'd be in panels and it'd be like super crown molding. Would be another way to describe it.
There you go. Yeah.
So.
Oh, I think it's probably something we need to probably look at trying to do.
I think we're getting a lot of use out of that building.
Yeah.
And the more comfortable we make it, the more inviting, and the more. So we'll continue down this path, and I've sent them a note back saying, what can we do to cut costs?
Sure.
So see how they reply.
Yeah. But no, I think it's well worth it to try to do something, because I know it does bounce around in there.
Yeah.
If you've been in there.
And again, I've seen several places where they have done this, and it does help.
Okay.
Does it require any maintenance? And as far as installation, is it screwed into the wall? They put
a channel in it. I think it snaps in. Yeah.
Okay.
This is the way it was described to me. It's the way they attach it. So.
See, as far as maintenance, I think it's just pretty much there.
Yeah. No batteries. No electricity.
That's good. So. Do you need anything else from us on that other than to proceed?
Yeah, just proceed. We do have budget dollars available in the current year, so that's not an issue.
What's the jail doing? Do you know? Are they doing the same type of wrap on theirs? Or
yes,
I'm sure there's probably
they're using this vendor, and they're using the same
same wrap around the top.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's around the top.
Okay.
Because they have different rooms and buildings. Okay. Have you been in there lately?
No, I have not.
It's a lot of. There's a lot of masonry walls inside there. It's a sound and concrete floor. So
I really hope they don't get in there later either.
I hope you don't either.
But they do have lots of sound problems.
And I did give you guys a little note about staying out of jail.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you get approached, having to deal with anytime there's a ballot or election item, there's certain guidelines and rules that apply to council members and city employees. And well, like the attorney in the article said, it's best just to not say anything at all.
Right.
It's up to the people.
Try to give you a segue to that one.
You did good. Yeah. You're doing good. All right. Final item. Quiet zone. Things are heating up. Alicia's been working hard this week. We got an offer from the railroad, and she's coordinating between the railroad, the TxDOT, the city, and the FRA. They have offered us $127,500 for our two closures. Okay? We have to enter into a three-way agreement between the railroad, TxDOT, and the city. Most of that money comes from the BNSF offer, and then $22,500 comes from TxDOT. And we've got to get our agreement done. We have to have our closures done before December 2nd. If we don't have them done before December 2nd, then the railroad haircuts their contribution by $20,000. Okay. So they've given us some incentive to close. Now we can negotiate maybe a later date. We're talking about that. We just got the offer. We were evaluating it. But the steps would be to complete the railroad closures, collect our money, make our quiet zone improvements, kill the train horn. So I think we're headed in the right direction. We're in the fourth quarter, okay? So this may require some special council meetings between now and our October meeting, and maybe even after that one. So Alicia's got a fire lit under TxDOT. TxDOT has to initiate this for us and draft the agreements for us and the railroad to sign. And she's asked them, normally they go to the railroad, then they come to the city, and then TxDOT signs last, even though they create the document. But TxDOT has agreed as of yesterday to go ahead and send the agreement to us first, so we can begin working through our process, because they're sensitive. They know that you guys have to meet and pass votes and do all that kind of stuff. So Alicia's working to kind of get us a sort of a schedule of what steps we have to take, what approvals we need to do. So already included in your packet, we've already got the ordinances drafted that when we get the agreement and we like it, and the closure work we can do ourselves.
Okay.
I mean, I think we can do most of that ourselves. We have to order some of the wooden barriers with the closing stuff, and then we can always look at how to dress that up later. But we've already got the ordinances ready to go that you guys would have to vote on to actually close 5th Street. And then there's actually two ordinances that apply to Third Street. Did you guys get three of these?
Yeah.
Yes.
I only got two. I'm all. My packet is. My
what
packet
did
is,
you do, fall down?
I don't know, Darnell. I don't know. You left me alone for an hour, and I don't know.
Third Street has a track and a siding. And
right.
They
one,
count those for two.
Yeah, yeah, one's for a track. One's for a siding at Third Street, and then the other one's for Fifth Street.
Yeah.
So I've got them somewhere. I don't know how. I've never got them with me. So anyway, thank you. All right, good deal. That's Third Street. All right, I'm good. So,
have we been in contact with pecans.com, or are we
yes.
working on them?
Yeah, I met with Joe Brooks today, and we've got they got their design done on their loading dock, and we've got a bid from Buster, and it's about $20,000 to do the loading dock changes. So that would allow us to put up the guardrail on 4th Street, mm-hmm. and they would still have access to their building. And so that's kind of been worked out. They've come up with their own design. They've been talking to Alicia.
Yeah.
And so they're Joe said everybody's happy.
Good. And so back to your dollars and cents. The railroad offers their part is how much?
Okay. 7,500 times 3 is the portion that is attributable to TxDOT.
Okay.
And the difference between 127.5 and that number times 3 is
20,
the railroad offer.
102,000?
102.5. Okay. So
the total number that you gave us is just that. That's
right.
The combined.
That's the combined
our
number.
Our part is the matching labor and some of the closing and the barriers and that.
Right. Yeah. So we've invested about
that'll work.
20,000 in engineering. The concrete work came in with the 20,000 and about 50 or 60 for the medians. So this project should be fully funded with the contribution and aid from the railroad and TxDOT.
Yep.
So, you know, there'll be some timing issues on the cash flow.
Sure. Right.
You know, when we spend it and when we get reimbursed, but when, you know, post-completion on the project,
it's covered.
Should be fully funded, cost covered.
I was wondering if the railroad needed to up their offer some, and it sounds like instead of negotiating up, they've taken a stance they'll negotiate down if we don't.
Right, if we don't act timely.
Yeah, if we don't.
So
we don't want to lose $20,000.
You know, we Alicia and I, we shared with them our cost figures, so I think that drove them to their number. So it'll be hard to push them up. We can certainly try.
Right.
The thing I might push them on is giving the city a little more time. December 2nd is kind of a tight deadline.
Sure.
I think we can do it. But right. It'd be nice to have a little more lagniappe in there and maybe, you know, squeeze another 30 days out of them, especially if it takes TxDOT, you know, if it takes 3-4 weeks to get the agreement done or 5 weeks,
right,
or, you
yes.
know, I have no control of that. I mean, we can close these crossings right now. We
yeah,
dump dirt all over
yeah.
the place and
pile
it up.
As a council, I bet we can meet when we need to meet.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
And if you need to negotiate with the railroad to push the date back a little bit, you get to December and things get kind of busy and Christmas yeah, slows. Thanksgiving slows it down.
Yeah.
And if you're going through TxDOT first, well, you may need another month.
Right. Year.
So just kind of keep them aware of the apprised of the timeline and the situation.
Tell them we're all agreed.
We're
ready
together.
To do it.
We're ready to go. Okay.
Get it.
So I was just getting everything to come together. Jail waterline project, we got our railroad permit yesterday. And so we'll be having a kickoff meeting tomorrow at 10 to start the boring process, the 100-foot bore. Under the railroad tracks to finish that water line. And then we got our grant award letter for the CDBG money, $275,000 for water line replacements. We're replacing all the cast iron line from the one water tank on the hill down Riley Street back into all the lines we replaced 4 years ago.
So we just got it, you think?
We've got an award letter, yes.
Okay, well, great.
Yeah.
Great.
That was a grant you guys approved submitting, gosh, 8-9 months ago. So in the hopper we've got the railroad money and project. We've got the $275,000 waterline project, $250,000 grant award on the sidewalks. We think we'll get it, and then not sure what we'll get on the parks grant. So that's good money. We're leveraging our money like 4-1 and 5-1.
Yeah.
I like that. That's fun.
Definitely.
I still want a year where we don't do anything. Looking forward to that.
One good one. See what he does.
What?
I'd be bored.
You can throw this at him. Throw that.
he's got a whole sack full. Yeah, he's got right. More bullets.
But that
concludes my report.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. Let's go around. Ramona.
Nothing. Thank you.
Jay Wilson.
I don't want to beat a dead horse and reiterate, but like I say, with all the rain, we sure got lots of grass growing. Like I say, if everybody can sure kind of keep up with everything. Yeah, you know, it's just... But that's a good problem to have, I can assure you. I like this green stuff better than the brown stuff.
The corner of Fisher and Howe Valley looks good.
Oh, good. Finally.
Steve.
I'm all good. Everything's good.
Yeah. If there's nothing else, thank you for being here, Mr. Taylor, representing the Gold Plate Eagle. We appreciate you, as we do each and every time you show. Anything else, anybody? Darnell?
Nothing.
Nothing else. We're adjourned.
You got ball games tonight?